Welcome back to our Psalms of History series. We are looking at Psalms that give us perspective, insight into what's going on in David's heart. The sweet psalmist of Israel, prolific writer of songs to be sung by the children of Israel. Songs, expression, emotions, gives us insight into what's happening kind of behind the scenes of these stories we've been looking at in 1st and 2nd Samuel. We're in 2nd Samuel, looking at the first four chapters or so, leading up to David's full enthronement of Israel, being king of Israel there in 2nd Samuel 5. The first four chapters, Saul has died. Abner has taken the fourth of Saul's sons, Ishbosheth, made him king over Israel. The tribe of Judah, the largest of the tribes, have come and enthroned David. David is king of Judah, but he's not quite king over the entire nation of Israel, as God had promised. He had been anointed way back when by Samuel the prophet to be king over all of Israel, not part of Israel, not a portion of Israel, but all of Israel, to be the king. And so there's this season of his life where David is not forcing God's wills, not pushing God's hand. He's in Hebron, sitting back and just letting God do his thing in God's timing. Such an important lesson. Yes, to know God's will, but to let God enact his will. May his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And David is sitting back and he's just waiting and he's letting things work themselves out naturally, which indeed they do. And David would become the king over all of Israel fairly quickly. I do think that there's some Psalms possibly written during this season of David's life that gives us insight into just him trusting in the Lord, him waiting on the Lord. Two Psalms we're going to look at here. We're going to look first at Psalms 29. It's titled Praise to God and His Holiness and Majesty. It's hard to say that this was specifically written during this time period, but I do think that this is an expression of his heart. Again, just worshiping God. God has led him so far, has been so good to him. It's a Psalm of David. We're told, verse 1, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord and the beauty of his holiness. You know, it's an interesting thing with regards to our praise, our worship, is that it's the only thing that God can't do. You know, the idea of worship, it's to exalt something above yourself. It's to attribute worth, value, to exalt something. God can't worship because God can't exalt anything beyond himself because nothing is greater than him. And yet, what is the one thing that we can give God? You know, as a dad, but also as a son, you know, buying for a father is the most maddening thing. Because it's like what do you buy your dad who can go buy whatever he wants whenever he needs it? It's very difficult. Like, what do you buy for the person that has everything? And yet when it comes to God, like what can we give the God who has everything? Well, we can give him our praise. We can give him the one thing that he can't have, that he can't give to others, our praise, our worship. And this is how David begins the song, give unto the Lord, give unto the Lord. Give how? Through our worship. Verse 3, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Indeed, the voice of the Lord is powerful. It is that voice, David must have been thinking, that God said, let there be light, and there was light. That God said, and the firmament divided, or dry land came into being. That God said, and there were animals and birds and fish. The voice of the Lord is very powerful. It's powerful in the sense that it carries power, that it does things. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, verse 5. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion, like a young wild ox, the voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. The voice of the Lord, I like that line, the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. That it's the voice of God that brings about life. That God speaks and life comes into being. All life originates within the power found in the voice of God, the documented voice of God. How are we raised to life from death? Though we were dead in our sins and our trespasses, we have now been made alive in Christ Jesus. How? Because we heard the voice that has power. Power to take what's dead and resurrect it to life. It's that same power that stood outside of a tomb, the tomb of his friend Lazarus, and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus had no choice but to come forth because it's the voice of the Lord that brings life. That I love it again. It's the voice of the Lord that makes the deer give birth. This short little psalm closes out last two verses, 10 and 11. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood. The Lord sits as king forever. And the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. David, again, in this season of uncertainty, Ishbosheth in the north and David's in the south, and how will God fix all of this stuff? How will he, you know, bring his will to bear? And he just reminds himself, God's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be worshiped. His voice has power and authority, but it's God that sits on the throne more than anyone else. And the Lord will bless his people. And how will he bless his people? With peace. You know that's the greatest blessing that God can give is peace. A peace that would surpass understanding. But understand, the only way to have peace within oneself or peace with others is to first experience peace with God. For when there's peace with God, that's shalom, there is no more striving, there is no more worry, there is no more stress. It is the peace of God that yields, yes, that steady peace within one's soul. I don't have to earn anything. I've been given it. I'm to receive it and enjoy it. But then that manifests a peace with others. Peace from God yields peace with God and then peace with others. Again, it's hard to say with any certainty exactly what psalms David might have written during this season of life. In addition to this one we just looked at, I would also like to point out maybe Psalms 133 as just another example of this season of David's life before he becomes the full king of Israel. This is a very short psalm, and it's titled Blessed Unity of the People of God. And maybe this is one of those songs that David wrote, hearing the word that Ishbosheth had passed away, hearing the word that the elders of the other tribes of Israel were on their way to enthrone him, hearing word that indeed God's will was finally going to reach its completion. That it would be any moment that David would be blessed by the elders, all of the elders of Israel, and been given the full anointing, that full completion. Again, it's titled the Blessed Unity of the People of God, this expression of the people being now unified. You know, you could say that the people were unified under Saul, and yet not so much, for David was not unified, and David's men were on the run, and as a result, there was an uncertainty, an uneasiness within the kingdom. Anytime you have an anointed king resisting the other anointed king, there will be strife. David writes, he says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, if you examine the early church from the most seminal document we have in describing the early church, the book of Acts, you will find over and over and over again, whether it was that first church there in Jerusalem or later expressions, whether it be the church then later in Antioch or through Paul's missionary journeys, establishing churches in other parts of the Roman Empire, the common refrain, the common description is that they had unity with one another. that they were in one accord with each other, that the manifestation of the Holy Spirit at work within the church community, everyone experiencing God's grace, being moved by his love, being gripped by his power, is a love for one another. And then you read through Paul in almost all of his letters at some point or another in writing to these churches that he had planted, or even some churches that he hadn't, is this exhortation for the brethren to be unified. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't things that we'll disagree on, sure. And yet, we have a greater commonality, God's grace, that should unify us in spite of our differences. That we should have unity, even in the midst of diverse opinions or strategies. Again, blessed. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What is it like? He says, it is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edges of his garment. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. It's like the oil. It's like the dew. When God's people are not fighting with one another, where there's not strife or backbiting or ill intent, when the brethren are dwelling together in unity, how good and how pleasant it is. And I would say amen and amen to that. Again, we're not always going to agree. And yet the exhortation is the same, that we are to be in one accord, that what binds us, the strand that unifies us, should be much greater than any trivial thing that might divide us or sow discord. If you enjoyed this psalm, check out our website, calvary316.tv/histories. You can find all these psalms videos and then the Bible studies that they correlate to. God bless.